think he is talking about Jacob, just like it says, the nation of Israel, as representatives. And we're talking about individuals, because Malachi is the last of the Old Testament prophecies, so it's speaking about those from whom Jacob developed. But it does say this collectively. It speaks about the love that God had for your fathers. But as for coming right out and saying it, well, it's a different thing. And let me say this, because I was so hard-pressed to find individuals whom God loved, I had to go to the original Hebrew and find instances where the same word love is translated by a different word, and yet that word describes the one and the feeling of God toward that person. It's the same in the New Testament. I just as soon tell you this now, and then I will read it to you. When you have the word friend in the New Testament, one of the words comes from the word phileo. It means one for whom you have fondness. But if you get the verb phileo, it is translated love. As when the Lord Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Do you love me? Are you my friend?" That's the same word. So when you find friend in the New Testament, and it's the word philema, or, which is kiss, or the other derivation from phileo, it means friend. Now, in the Old Testament, it's the same way. There are two words that are translated friend in the Old Testament, and I will tell you about them, and then when I read, you will be able to understand it better. It is the same as in the New Testament. When it speaks about Abraham being the friend of God, it's the same as in the New Testament, the word phileo. It's the same word, ahav, which means to love, and it means this: Abraham, the one who loves me, and I love him. And that's a beautiful definition of a friend. A friend and another who mutually love one another. That's the meaning. And the other word for friend in the Old Testament means one that is an associate, a companion, one that is near to you, and he is your friend. So, keeping those things in mind, now I'll read to you from three scriptures, and they all tell us the same thing. Second Chronicles, first of all. Second Chronicles, chapter 20. I told you about Solomon last week. One of the plainest references as the one that God loved. We're told in 2 Samuel that God loved Samuel. And he gave him a nickname, Jedidiah, which means beloved of the Lord. And so let's see what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want you to notice that even though the same thing is said three times, yet it is expressed by three different persons, and it conveys three different thoughts. So look at verse 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting at verse 5. And Jehoshaphat, he's one of the kings of Israel, stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said, "O Lord, the God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and art not thou ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations, and in thy hand is power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Didst not thou, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and give it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever?" So here is the first reference where Abraham is ever called in this way, the friend of God. And what is so remarkable, it's hundreds of years after the life of Abraham, And out of the blue, a king is praying to God, and he brings forth, as a basis of prayer, a certain one that had a proper relationship with God. And Abraham is spoken of as the friend of God. And that is the basis of Jehoshaphat's prayer. That's all I'll tell you for now. Jehoshaphat calls Abraham the friend of God. Now, turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41, and look at verse 8. But thou, Israel, my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken hold of from the ends of the earth, and called from the corners thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I've chosen thee and not cast thee away. Notice here, it is not any man that speaks of Abraham, but it is God himself. Listen again. But thou, Israel, my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. So now, Abraham is again called the friend of God, but he's called the friend of God by God himself. All right. Let's look in James chapter 2 in the New Testament. James chapter 2. And look at verse 21. 2:21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works, in that he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? You see that faith worked with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So now, James is telling us the same thing. We have a king in the Old Testament who speaks of Abraham as the friend of God, and now we have a New Testament author telling us that Abraham is the friend of God, but he is explaining just why he is called the friend of God. So that's all I'll tell you for now before I start speaking to you. Let us lift up our voices in prayer to God. Our Father, we thank you for the passages that we've read. We're so glad that you do have a few individuals that you can speak of in a complimentary way. Our Father, we could wish that the ones that you speak of in a good way at the first of their lives, you can speak the same way at the end of their lives. But we discovered, our Father, that the one whom you loved, Solomon, in his youth, and the one who loved you in his youth, in his old age, he departed from thee and loved many strange women. And it says you were angry with him. Our Father, we pray that we shall learn that this love of thine does not mean that you are passive, that you allow anything to be committed, to be done in our lives. We pray, our Father, that we shall understand what the friendship of God means from what we have read from these portions tonight. So, our God, help us to learn about the love of God in the life of Abraham tonight, we pray to thee. We thank you for this day, what it's meant. Thy son was remembered. He desired of us this day in remembrance of me. And we have come and broken the bread and drunken the cup in obedience to thy will. And then your word was preached this morning, and we desire to hear thy word preached tonight. So, grant help to thy servant. Empower in body, mind, and soul, and give utterance, and prepare the hearts of those who listen, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as you forgive us and cleanse us from our sins. We pray in his name. Amen. Some people are God's friends, and are loved by God from the very beginning. Others, late in life, are loved by God. Now, in the case of Solomon, in his earliest days, it says, God loved him and called him Jedediah. So this is the love of God early in the life of one of his children. But in the case of Abraham, the Lord never started working with Abraham until he was 75 years old. He started working first through Terah, his father, and Terah had three sons. He had Abraham and Nahor and Haran, and he started working. When you read Acts chapter 7 and compare it with Genesis 11 and 12, you see that he started working long before. But finally, after Terah died, then the Lord went and spoke directly to Abraham. And when he did, God told him that he was to leave his native land, his friends and relatives, and to go to a land that he would tell him of. And it says in Hebrews that Abraham went out not knowing whither he went. So at that time, God calls Abraham, and there was no basis for it at all. It is simply the grace of God. And if a Jew ever comes to you and starts speaking proudly of what he is and of what his father Abraham was, what you have to do is to refer them to two portions of Scripture, one in Genesis and one in Joshua. And the one in Genesis tells us that Abraham was in Ur of the Chaldees. And then that is taken up in Deuteronomy, and the confession of a descendant of Abraham when he comes to God with blessing, offerings, he says, my father was a Syrian ready to perish. And so that's what all Jews were before there were Jews in Abraham. They have to say, my fathers, my forefathers, my ancestry, they were Syrians ready to perish, and you show grace toward them. And then in Joshua, it speaks about them being idolaters beyond the river. So at this time, God does not look upon him as friends, but he looks upon them as those in need of being used by him to bless the nations of the world. Because God never chose Abraham or Jew because of any inherent good that's in him, but he did it that he might make him to be what he wanted him to be. And then in turn, Abraham and his descendants would go out and be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. So understand that God became a lover of Abraham, and Abraham became a lover of God ever so late in life. And that is the way it is with many of us. Some of us can point back before we were teenagers when we trusted Christ as Savior. And some of us can point to our teens when we trusted Christ as Savior. And there was a friend of mine up the street, and he points to the time when he trusted Christ as Savior, and it was 78 years old. But when that happens, then we become the friends of God. But we become his friends not only on the ground of grace, but because of what we do. He looks upon us, and as the Lord Jesus says in John 15, remember this, he said, you are my friends if you do the things that I command you. He loves us all on the ground of grace, and that's for no reason at all. That's unmerited favor. But at the same time, after we are saved by grace, we are told to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we grow, God looks upon us, and then God manifests and gives expressions of how he feels toward us. And so this is the way it is with Abraham. What has happened is that God never in his lifetime used that word friend, but what happened in his life, especially in Genesis 17 and Genesis 18 and in Genesis 22, these are the chapters that cause God later to say, Abraham, my friend. Something that he did that God looked upon with favor caused God to describe him as Abraham, my friend. Now, first before God describes him in Isaiah 41, Jehoshaphat speaks of him that way in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 7. And this is what is so interesting. And if you read the prayers in the Old Testament, you learn things about God's children, and you learn also how to pray. And when you pray, there has to be a basis for your prayer. When Moses prayed to God, he gave reasons that he was asking. Now, at times he says, for thine own name's sake. But at other times, Moses reasons with God, and it's almost humorous when he's telling God. He said, you can't cut off this nation now. Don't you realize what would happen? Why, these Egyptians that let us go, if you cut us off now, they will say, that God that took them out of Egypt was not able to get them into the promised land. And that wouldn't be a good thing. Do you see how he reasons? And in like manner, when Jehoshaphat is facing a crisis and his whole kingdom can be destroyed, he goes into the presence of God in the court of the temple of God and starts praying. And he mentions as a basis for God answering his prayer, Abraham and his seed. The promises that are made to Abraham, and he says, Abraham, your friend. This is what is important from this scripture, that God knew Abraham was his friend, and Abraham knew that God was his friend. But what is even better is when the world can look upon your life, and from what they know of you and what they know of God, they are able to say what God himself says about you. And this is what Jehoshaphat says. He says, Abraham, your friend. It's the same way when anybody would look upon in the Old Testament, David and Jonathan, and they would say to one another, they are friends. Why? Because the love between them, one was as much as the other. And it says that Jonathan loved David as his own soul. And therefore people would look and say, friends? Why, friends like David and Jonathan. And we can still use that today. Just as we speak about Job. We've heard of the patience of Job. And so when it comes to friendship, people hundreds of years later, after Abraham has died and gone to be with his God, other people look upon him and say, I am speaking to you about Abraham, your friend. Now, tell me this. Do you think that anybody could look at your life and the life that you live and say, oh, John or Mary or Bill or Elizabeth, they are friends of God? Would anybody ever say that about you? They said it about Abraham. And God said it about Abraham. And so we have a twofold witness. The man to say something is one thing, for God to say it is another. But for it to be so evident, and this is what is precious, what is so evident that is true, because it speaks of false friends in the Bible as well as true friends, for it to be true is a wonderful thing. And for people to look upon me and say, there goes a man who is a friend of God. Or there goes a man who is a servant of God. Moses was called the man of God. He was called the servant of God. And that's a beautiful thing. And others look upon those that profess to be Christians and say, look at that hypocrite. And if you speak about friendship with God, they would laugh and say, friendship with God? Well, what kind of friends is God picking up today? So, he does not mind picking you up at the first when you were in your sin. I told you about that this morning. When this woman in Luke chapter 7, who in the city was a sinner, but then her sins had been forgiven, and she comes to express her gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ receives her gifts, and then tells Simon that the woman had been forgiven, and how much she loved. So it's one thing for the Lord Jesus to be able to see it, but it's another thing for others to be able to see it. And so, without trying to make people look upon you and trying to act in a way to make them think that you are the friend of God, because I remember years ago, I was speaking with a fellow student at Emmaus. They would send us out in twos, and just as here, one would pray and another would preach. I was to preach that night, and he was to open in prayer. And actually, he opened in prayer, and the meeting was over. He came to me and said, "John," he said, "do you think that my prayer sounded spiritual enough? Could they understand that I was really a man of prayer?" And I can't remember what answer I gave, but I probably should say about one seeking out his own glory is like one that eats too much honey. But I didn't have that much discernment at that time. But you, he came to me and said, "Now, did I seem pious enough? Did I seem holy enough, reverent enough in my prayer?" He was one that is trying to be that way. As if I go along in life, and then when people are looking, I put on a pious outward front so that they will say, "Ah, look at that religious man." But as soon as they're out of sight, then I return to what I am by nature. Only one nature, not a divine nature. But in the case of Abraham, it was evident to everyone that he was the friend of God. And in this instance, I told you, the friend is the one who loved God and was loved by God. And that is a beautiful thing. If it can be said, he is a friend of God, and Jehoshaphat knew it. And they mentioned Abraham to call down a blessing from God. Jehoshaphat says this, "Abraham was your friend, and we want you to do this in the light of the promises that you made to him." So that's a great thing. When someone might say, "Lord, you know that this Christian in Goldsboro prayed for me, and Father, you know the devotedness of that Christian to you, and so because of their prayer as well as my prayer, would you bless me in a special way?" Is that not a glorious thing? When someone can mention you and know that you are a friend of God, and can mention your name as one who has prayed for you, who has preached to you, and on the basis of that, they want God to answer their prayer. And so this is the way that Jehoshaphat spoke of Abraham as being the friend of God. So examine your life and ask the question, does anyone ever look upon me and say, "He is a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ"? Do you realize that from what we read in Acts chapter 11, it seems as if the word Christian was not a name that the Christians themselves gave themselves, but it was one that was coined by others that looked at them. They saw their devotedness to Christ, and they said, "Oh, they are ones that belong to Christ. They are Christians." That's a good thing. Just as I told you about Peter and John, it says in Acts chapter 4, when those to whom they were preaching saw the boldness of Peter and John, it says they took knowledge that they had been Jesus. And so may there be something not artificial, not something that is framed or put on, but may there be something naturally in my life that causes men to say, "That man's been with Jesus. That man is a friend of Jesus." And so this is the way that Jehoshaphat looked upon Abraham. Now, even greater than this is what God himself says in Isaiah 41, verse 8, about Abraham. He speaks about Abraham, my friend. And it is a trademark of God that if he can find anything good to say about you, to tell to others He will tell them those good things. God loves to tell to the world about those that live exemplary lives and live up to the standards that he expects of those that he calls his own. This is what he says in Job 1 and in Job 2. It speaks about the sons of God presenting themselves before the Lord, and Satan appears before God, and this is what he says to him. He says, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there was none like him in the whole earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that doeth righteousness and turneth away from evil?" To have God speak to you in that way. I tell you, it is a characteristic of God that if he looks at the life that you are living, and it's an exemplary life, he will tell people about it. He does it about Abraham, and he does it about Job, and he does it about David. He says, "David, the man after my own heart." God looks upon those that confess his name on earth, and if he can find anything good about them, he will speak about it. And that is what he's doing in Isaiah 41. God speaks of Abraham, my friend, which confirms what Jehoshaphat has said. Many, at one time in their life, had many people deceived that Jesus was their friend and that they were friends of Jesus. But let me ask you now, do you think that Judas Iscariot ever loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the love of Jesus Christ that was pure and holy was ever embraced and received by Judas Iscariot? You say, no. Then if somebody says, "Why, Judas Iscariot is a friend of Jesus," that would be a lie. It would be true in this sense. He was a friend. But you'll find in two Psalms, I may tell you about those sometime, about false friends, about a familiar friend that turned out to be false. But in the case of Abraham, he turned out to be a true friend, and in the case of Job, he stood as much as man could stand, and God would display him and tell others about him. So that is what he does in the case of Abraham and Isaiah. Now I will hasten to James chapter 2 and then tie these things together. It's for this reason. We're not told by Jehoshaphat why Abraham was God's friend. We're not told in Isaiah 41 why Abraham was God's friend. But we are told in James chapter 2 why Abraham was God's friend, the friend of God. And it is because of the life that he lived and the great sacrifice that he rendered unto God when he offered up his son, his only son Isaac, whom he loved. I want us to read two portions to show you how God is looking at the life of Abraham and what he says about it as he examines it. First, Genesis 18. Let's look at that. Genesis 18. And concerning Abraham, he says this. He's told them about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And look at verse 16. 18:16 of Genesis. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him to the end, that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, to the end that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." I told you that it was a characteristic of God, any time he sees good things in his servants, to speak of them. And now, he is so impressed with Abraham that he says, "Shall I hide from Abraham that which I do?" He's telling him about Sodom and Gomorrah. And then you may read of Abraham, the intercessor, farther along in this chapter. But notice, he praises Abraham because of what he is and what he's going to do. And this is what you should challenge your own soul with. Look, can God say this about you? Yes, this man is my friend. This woman is my friend. Why? Because I know them to the end that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, to the end that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Can God say that of you, that this is the way that you're going to bring up your household? You must. If not, God is not going to look upon you and display you as his friend to the world. Now, look at chapter 22. Chapter 22. You remember the incident about Abraham being told to offer up his son, his only son, whom he loved. And in Genesis chapter 22, verse 10, Isaac is upon the altar, and it says in verse 10 that Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. And look at verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, this is the very scripture that James uses in chapter 2 to explain about justification by faith. In the Word of God, a faith that does not work is not a saving faith. But here is a faith that was spoken of in Genesis 15. Abraham placed his faith in God. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. But then God tests him, and he sees the development of his life, and finally the supreme test is this. Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and offer him for a burnt offering upon the mount that I shall tell thee of. And Abraham says, Yes, Lord. And he was going to do it. And God saw it. And he says, Now I know, not by omniscience, but I know from experience and the life of Abraham that he was going to slay his son. Give back to me that son that I gave to him. That son that was so precious to him. He was going to give him back to me, he said. And because of that, he said, I will bless him nothing but behold my hand of good coming. And this is how James interprets it. It says, after this, Abraham was called the friend of God. Now think. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 15, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Which do you think would be a greater sacrifice? For God to call you to lay down your life for him, your friend, or to call upon you to offer up your son, whom you love with all your heart, to offer him up to God for sacrifice. You say, it would be easier if I offered myself. And God knew that. And for that reason, he said, Give me your son. And Abraham did not withhold his son. And God said, Because you have not withheld your son, your only son, now I know. And from that time on, God could speak of him as Abraham, my friend. And Jehoshaphat could speak of him as the friend of God. And James could speak of him as the friend of God. And now the whole world knows, and everyone who reads the scriptures knows that Abraham is the friend of God. One thing more. Is it possible that you or I could ever be called the friend of God? Turn to Proverbs chapter 22. I want you to see this verse. chapter 22 and apply it to yourself. There are many other things about friends, but I want you to see in chapter 22. Look at verse 11. It's a strange verse, and yet it's a beautiful verse. It says in verse 11, Proverbs 22:11, "He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king will be his friend." Do you want to be the friend of God? Not just talk about, "I'm saved by grace." Do you want to be the friend of God, to have some basis for God saying, "Abraham is my friend"? Listen to it again. "He that loveth pureness of heart." Now this sounds like the Lord Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart. "He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace in his lips, the king will be his friend. And the king of heaven will be your friend if there is pureness in your heart and the grace of God upon your lips." So live the life that Abraham lived, and perhaps someday you and I can be called the friend of God. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we thank you for these challenges that are found in the Word of God. We are thankful that some whom you called as friends and whom you loved had no better background than we did. Coming from a father that was a murderer and a mother that was an adulteress, and yet you loved the child. And then concerning Abraham, he was an idolater, an Assyrian, ready to perish, and yet you loved him and he became your friend. And our Father, it can be so with us. Let us know what was in our lips at one time. And our Father, now you put a new song in our heart, praise upon our lips. And if there is pureness and if there is grace in our lives, then the King, yea, the King of heaven, shall make us his friend. So we're so thankful that we can say we're saved by grace through faith. May that day come when men will look upon us and say, "He is a friend of God," and when you shall say from heaven, "Yes, he is my friend." We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.